be in chapter 3, but I'd like to read the last verse in chapter 2 also. So, Jesse, can you read chapter 2, verse 21, but also read verse 1 of chapter 3?
Okay. I do not set aside the grace of God, for righteousness comes through the law, and Christ died in vain. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ is clearly portrayed among you as crucified?
And then, I don't know if I'm on, right? Did you record?
I did record, but it's just got like a straight line, but it's coming through here, so I don't know.
Okay. Alright, so Paul, he says, O foolish Galatians. So he's not telling the Galatians that they're not intelligent. That, you know, he's actually saying that they're smart and that they know better. They know better. And that they, you know, he doesn't understand how they've been fooled to believing a lie, are being bewitched. You know, it's kind of like having a spell put on you so that you forget the truth. You know, from the very beginning, the Galatians have been taught by Paul, and Paul always taught that Jesus was crucified, right? That's what happened, so he's always taught it. So the question to the Galatians is, do you think that was in vain? Do you think God, do you think Jesus died in vain? You know, did it mean nothing? Because that's exactly what it would mean if you could work your way to heaven. If you could work your way to heaven, and that's what the debate is right now, is that Paul is talking to him, is that if you could work your way to heaven, then Jesus didn't have to die on the cross. Because we could do it on our own power. In chapter 3, verses 2 through 4, Ryan, can you read that?
This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Have you begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain.
And like I said, in the Galatians, we've been going through this the last couple chapters, is that these people came to them and said, no, you need to keep the law in order to be saved. You need to believe in Jesus, but you also need to keep the law. I forgot, these two haven't been here. So that's what's been going on, right? These Judaizers is what they're called. They've been coming in and telling people they need to be circumcised. They need to keep the dietary laws. And Paul's saying, no, you don't. Because if that was the case, you know, you're working your way to heaven. It's on you. Paul asks another question here. He's saying, what came first? What came first? Your faith or good works? You know, in this case, what he's talking about is making their way to heaven. Right? So if you were trying to make your way to heaven,
what would have to come first? Faith or good works? Faith, right? It would have to, because if you want to make your way to heaven, you'd first have to know that heaven's there. So you'll have to have faith that heaven's there. And so you can't just work for something you don't know is there, right? It doesn't make any sense. So faith had to come first. So they started with the Spirit. So they were letting God lead them. That's what the Spirit does. They're letting God lead them. And then they said, oh, God, you know what? You're pretty good. Yeah, you're pretty good. But I got it from here. Right? I don't need you anymore. I got this. I could take it all the rest of the way. Now, we also know, and we know from Acts, but we know that the Galatians had suffered persecution. Now, here in America, you know, sometimes it's hard to see that picture or to get that in our head, because here in America, the main religion is Christianity, right? We haven't really seen, you could say we've started to see some persecution, but we haven't really seen persecution of the church here in America.
It's different in other countries like China.
Right, right, exactly. We could hear about it. To actually experience it is completely different. In the case of the Galatians, if we could imagine, you had to, not that you had a choice, you had to believe in a multiple God situation. You had to believe in that, or you would definitely lose your job, you'd lose friends, you'd lose your family, maybe go to jail, maybe death, maybe beatings. The Jews before Moses? No, they didn't. Because actually, we'll be going into that a little bit. But you know, there's always been the one God. Now, there's been people who believed in the multiple gods, like the Egyptians believed in multiple gods, and there's a lot of cultures who believed in the multiple gods. But as far as the Jews know, they've always believed, or were supposed to believe. You know, there was times there was people that influenced and led them astray and led them to believe in false idols. And that's what the problem was, is because there's a long, big old bunny trail. But they've always fallen short because they kept on falling, sliding back and believing in idols. Because they allowed, if you read in the Bible, that's why they didn't want them to marry unbelievers. Is because the unbelievers would actually lead them astray and going, oh, well, back in my country, this is what we did. We pray to this guy, and we pray to this guy for this, and pray to this guy for this. That kind of answers. But there would be multiple jobs lost because of this. Because that's not the norm to be a Christian. It wasn't a norm for them. So a lot of people persecuted Christians. They persecuted the Jews also, but they persecuted the Christians because that wasn't the norm. They say, no, I don't want you to grow. I'm trying to stop this. So they would persecute the Christians back then. So Paul's informing him that if you could do things, if you could make it to heaven on your own merits, if you could work your way to heaven, those times you chose to stand up to choose God or choose Jesus openly, that was for naught. It didn't really matter. You could have, you know, do a favor, just believe in Jesus secretly and work your way to heaven. That's what you could do. And you don't have to suffer through these persecutions, because these persecutions were because they were openly believing in Jesus. So he's saying that would be in vain. So he's giving all these descriptions like, well, if this was the case, well, you didn't have to do this. If this was the case, Jesus didn't have to die. If this was the case, you wouldn't have had persecutions. In verses 5 through 6, Matthew, do you feel like reading? All right, so Paul, whenever he was preaching to the Galatians or to the Gentiles, he did not preach, oh, you need to follow the law, right? He didn't start out with that. He never started out with that because he didn't believe in that. So all the miracles they witnessed in Acts 14, they recorded them. There were crippled men who were healed and standing and walking, and tons of times escaping death from an angry mob. All those happened before these men, these Judaizers, came in preaching that they needed to keep the law. So why did God allow these miracles to happen? Was it because God had grace, or because the keeping of the law?
He had grace.
Right? He had grace. Because they weren't keeping the law, because they weren't being taught the law. These were Gentiles, right? So he's just saying, you know, all these miracles, that these witnesses, things that you saw that God did for you, it wasn't because of the law, it was because he had grace. And then Paul starts talking about Abraham. And this goes along with what Ryan asked, but who is Abraham? Does anybody know who Abraham, the Abraham he's talking about? Not Lincoln, not Beard, top hat. He's talking about Abraham of the Bible. Anybody? I will tell you if you don't know. He was Jewish. Yes, he was. He was, you one would say, the first Jew. So he's the father of the nation. So he was the one God chose, said, oh, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Right? So he's the head, the main guy of Israel. Right? Definitely, without a doubt, who would have known that? A group of people, there would be a group of people out there what would have known who Abraham is, no matter what, probably learned this from when they're a small, small kid. Okay, let's just say the world is made up of two different groups. There's the Gentiles and there's the Jews. So Jewish people would have learned this from when they were a baby. It would be like their father Abraham. There was this song. I don't know, in Sunday school, you might have sung it. It was usually a little kid song. But, so, everybody would have known that. And Paul obviously told people that because he mentioned it. But the reason he mentioned Abraham is because Abraham was chosen before the law was given. Meaning that more than 250 years before the law was given, Abraham was made righteous. He was saved. God chose him. You know, and I cannot imagine these Judaizers, these people who wanted to keep the traditions and the customs and the law of the Jews, keep them going. There is no way they would ever question that their great, 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 great grandfather was not saved. Right? They would say, no, Abraham had to be saved. He had to be saved. He was the, you know, I mean, this was a pinnacle. You know, he was the main guy. He started it all. You know, the Old Testament in Genesis 15:6, and Paul re-says it here. He said he believed in God, not that he did good works. He believed in God, and because he believed, he was made righteous. It's the believe, right? He didn't say, oh, Abraham did all this good stuff. He said that he believed. Verses 7 through 9. Jesse?
Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham.
So the Gentiles being saved was always the plan. It was always the plan. Now, as you guys know, is that for years and years, the Jewish, they must have forgot about this verse in Genesis, but they did not like each other. These two groups didn't like each other. You know, but in Genesis 18:18, it says all nations, plural, right? Plural nations, will be blessed because of the nation made by Abraham. So that means that includes the Gentiles, right? Because it's all nations will be blessed. So that's why when Paul says is that people who have faith are sons of Abraham. Adopted sons, maybe, but it's that same faith. And they're blessed. All nations will be blessed. Just like Jesus wants to save everybody who will believe in him, whoever will believe in him. Not just certain people, it's whoever. Verses 10 through 12, Ryan.
For as many as are of the works laws are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For just shall the shall just live by faith, yet law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them.
And then just something like, so then when it says the just shall live by faith, is the just is the justified, the main one, righteous. So growing up, I don't know if you felt this way, but when I was growing up, I had this great sense of wanting to do the right thing. Now, I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal. I wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to follow the rules. Now, I also had a smidge of stubbornness, a little opinions about myself. I had my own opinions, maybe a little pride. So I didn't always say or do the right thing. But I still wanted to, but I didn't always do that. Knowing the law can show you what not to do, right? If you know the law, it can show you what not to do. It also tells you when you fall short. It's really good about that, right? I mean, that's where you really sense the law, is when you fall short. So it's really good about telling you that. And when it tells you that, there's penalties, right? There's penalties for falling short. And everybody, if they don't follow every single letter, every punctuation of the law, they fall short of the righteousness of God. That's what it means, aka cursed. Now we think cursed, you know, it's just a really strong word, right? But that's what it is, cursed. If we sin, we're cursed. There's penalties what goes along with sinning. Now, there are a lot of really, really good people out there, right? There's a lot of really good people, and they live by the law, and they'll probably die with the law, right? Because the law doesn't justify. But they're still good, and if we were going against my standards, you know, the bar I set, those people would be like, okay, I could step over that, no problem. But we're talking about God. He set this bar so high that the only way we could even come close to reaching that bar is with Him, with His help. So that's why it is. It's not going off of what we think are standards. It's God's standards, and God's standards are so high. Verses 13 through 14, Matthew.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of Spirit through faith.
So ever since Satan bewitched Adam and Eve, right? We've all known that story, right? Saying that there's another way you can have the knowledge of God, right? There's another way to live. You don't need to follow everything God says. And Satan bewitched them, right? There's been this plan to get people back to fully trusting in God. Jesus gave up his life to redeem our life. You know, taking on everybody's penalties upon himself. He made a way for everybody. You know, and the reason he did that is to fulfill a promise. This promise given to Abraham about a great nation and a Savior coming through him. He also did that to fulfill the love that he has for us. Jesus was more than willing to lay down his life for us. That's because he loves us. You know, it is said that legalism, everybody knows what legalism is, right? You've heard that word. It's kind of like a bad description word of other people in the Christian religion, right? What is legalism to you guys? I asked this last week, but half of you guys weren't here last week. Do you know what legalism is? Right? No? No? Jesse? You forgot. All right, so what legalism is just a description of it. Those people would go in and say, oh, well, believe in God, you're great, but you need to do this in order to be saved. You need to come to every single Sunday service and Wednesdays to be saved. You need to tithe every week to be saved. You need to be baptized to be saved. You know, they just put on these rules and regulations that you have to do. And there's certain things that may not be seem like, oh, well, that doesn't sound bad, right? There are certain things what we should do, but it's that we have to do them. They're putting in a stipulation that you have to do this. But the reason why it's a danger is because if you have to do this, that would in turn mean that you could work your way to heaven. And that would change the complete story. Because legalism, what it says is God will love you if you change. But that completely changes the gospel, because the gospel tells us you are loved just the way you are. Right? You're loved just the way you are. Now, God doesn't want to have you stay in sin if that's what you're doing, if that's who you've been and who you're, what you're doing. He doesn't want that, but he still loves you. He still loves you and wants you to change, but he loves you first. He doesn't love you, you know, if you change. Does that make sense? You know, those who believe keeping certain laws, you know, those who are legalistic, you know, they believe that they're equal as believing in God. You know, I feel like they mean well. You know, and they don't really see how dangerous this is, this idea is, because they're adding and deleting words to the gospel. You know, like I said, it's like, Is it a bad thing to come every Sunday? No. It's not a bad thing, right? But does it save you?
No.
No, it doesn't.
You
can still, you know, you still might not be saved, right? But can it help? Yeah, sure, it can help, but it's no guarantee. You know, there's nothing that we could do to guarantee. Well, there is something we can do to guarantee. Just believe in Jesus. Right? It's that. I mean, it's almost too simple for some people. It's like, is that it? No, I need to do this. You know, but they're good things if you think about it, but it's not a requirement. You know, it's not a necessary thing, because if it's a necessary thing, you're putting it as equal to God, and God's number one. You know, they might say something like this, somebody who's like this, is they might say that God of Israel, you know, he gave Israel the law and God doesn't change. Have you heard that? God doesn't change. And they're all absolutely right. God doesn't change. We'll look in Luke chapter 11, 34 through 40. Jesse, can you read that?
Did not he make the outside make the inside also?
All right, so what is happening is the Pharisees invited Jesus to dinner. And this is kind of right after, you know, they kind of complain, Jesus saved people on the Sabbath, and you're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. And now they see him, and they start talking about him. It's like, oh, well, he hasn't followed the tradition. He didn't wash his hands right before he ate. What is wrong with this guy, right? He's not doing what you're supposed to do. Jesus lets him know, you know, it's you know, you can keep the outside clean, but it's in what's inside that matters, right? He's talking about doing laundry and washing it. No, he's talking about your life and how you present yourself, right? Is that you could have this outwardly, oh, look at what I did, but inside your heart is corrupt and it's just like, well, I just want the praise. He's saying that's wrong, right? That's not the way it should be. Because the inside is what matters. And then we'll skip a couple of verses in Luke 11, 46. Ryan, can you read that?
And he said, woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers.
All right, so we'll break this down. As lawyers, what are the lawyers supposed to know? The law, right? It's in their name. You know, so they're supposed to know the law. And what Jesus is saying is like, what do you think the burden is Jesus is talking about that they're putting on the people? They're all loading it up with sacks? No, they're putting on the law. They're putting people on the law, our traditions and customs. They're putting this on the people. Jesus say they're putting them on them and they're not even following them, and they put this great burden of the law. So God always knew that this law, the law, was always a burden, a hard burden to bear. It's always been that way. In Isaiah 29, verse 13, Matthew, can you read that?
Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men.
Inasmuch, I don't think they use that word too much anymore. But it's just crazy that it was been around and we've changed it. But trust should be in God. Right? It shouldn't be in the law. You know, it's what's in the heart that matters. You know, he's saying that, you know, they were just giving lip service. They were sounded good, but they were following, you know, the laws of man, and they weren't following God. They were more concerned about looking good than being good. When God chose David to be the next king of Israel, God told Samuel, the next king would be among the sons of Jesse. Not this Jesse, obviously. but that's David's father. And Samuel first saw is, and I was doing pronunciation, Eliab. We'll call him Eliab. I believe that's it. And he was tall, strong, you know, good looking, chiseled cheeks or chin, right? He was this good looking guy, big, tough. He was like, surely, no, this is the guy. You know, this is the hero. This is the Captain America. He's the good guy, right? He has to be the next king. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, Jesse?
But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Now, not saying Eliab, there was something wrong, but, you know, but God looks at the heart. You know, God, you know, God's not about judging the outside appearance. He doesn't look at the outside and says, oh, good, bad. He looks at the inside. He looks at our heart. Now, if our heart is truly, truly focused on God, you know, you're going to do good works. It's inherent. I mean, it's kind of you just have to because you want to, right? And actually, it's not that you have to, because if it's in your heart, that's your want, right? That's what you want to do. You want to be that good person. And it's not because you have to, because somebody's going to punish you if you don't do it. You know, there's a huge difference between having to and wanting to. You know, would you guys want your friends to hang out with you because they have to? Or, you know, you'd want to do it because they want to, right? And you want to hang out with them, obviously, if they're your friends, because you want to. It's not that you have to. It's because you want to. And the God is the same way. He wants a relationship with you guys. He wants that relationship. He doesn't want a robot or just mimic and do exactly what he says. He wants a relationship with us. That is his desire. And that is why he has grace on us. And why it's a free gift, because he loves us. I'll close this in prayer.